Some question?
A question from Ajita Krishna Prabhu. What does it mean to receive mercy of a Vaishnava?
What comes to mind is the sloka from Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and his prayers titled Bilap Kusumanjali, which he's praising Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, and he says Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasa Prayatnai Apayayam Mam Anubhip Samandam Kripam Budhi Yat Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhum Asrayami. He is saying, in summary, that the nature of the Vaishnava is such, really substantially, they're going on with their internal appreciation of Krishna consciousness. And they're relishing that. As Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and also Raghunath Das, we see, although we're told from an external point of view, they're living a life of vairagya to the extreme, few days under one tree, another tree, eating very little, sleeping very little. But it's not that they're doing those things to achieve something, but actually, on account of what they're tasting and relishing internally, they're very little conscious of the external world and have very little necessity from there. It's not that I will do some extreme practices of renunciation and then I'll get this thing. You know, on account of their being flooded with the nectarine current of Krishna consciousness, there's very little to do with the world outside. So we can understand they're in deep states of ecstasy. They're very happy. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will put in these words saying, they're relishing some extraordinary, peculiar nectarine juice. So then what is their unhappiness? Kripam buddhi yat paradu kaduki. Raghunath Das is saying, so considering what your internal position is, remember, they are not practitioners who are following a set of practices by which they will elevate higher toward the desired goal. They've descended from that world. They've descended from Goloka Vrindavan. Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kalola Magno Muhura. Srinivasa Charja is saying, and their Gopi Bhav, their gopis descended from Goloka Vrindavan, and they're drowning in, you know, waves of ecstatic emotions. But then what is their unhappiness? What could make them unhappy? He's saying, really, your only unhappiness is seeing the suffering of others. And as we've told, the root cause of all suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. And under that, or an extension of that, we could say separation from Krishna. Right? What results in separation from Krishna? Separation, one, in the sense of bhayam dityad binibeshitat syat ishad apetasya viparyayo smriti, forgetfulness of Krishna. Right? Then one lives in the world of anxiety. The non-Vaikuntha realm, where at every moment death is a realistic possibility. Right? It's like, is this the mosquito that has that virus that's going to bite me now? Right? Is the water polluted, the air, the food? The whole environment. We're living in the world of mortality. Right? It chose to reign in hell as opposed to serving in heaven. So you have to constantly be looking over your shoulder, wondering when you'll be one of the statistics. Right? The internet, the news, every day is a variation on the theme of mortality. That's the front page news. It will show up in different ways, whether it was a plane crash, a natural disaster, you know, adidevic, adibhotic, adiatmic, all of these things, it will appear there. And scroll off, and then a new variation on the theme of mortality. As one self-proclaimed atheist, one, you know, the premier atheist of the 20th, 21st century, he died from cancer, but he was able to write about it when he knew that he was dying for sure. And said the way they write these articles and they describe this, he said, you know, with mock, well, with irony or humor, he said that, he said, it's as if to say, after a long struggle with mortality, he succumbed. Because whatever the, whether it was cancer, this, that, or the other thing, he said, then you might as well say, after a long struggle with mortality, he finally died. And that's the situation. But that situation has arisen, and the accompanying suffering and anxiety has arisen, in principle, forgetfulness from Krishna, forgetfulness of Krishna. That's on the material side. And then there's an interesting parallel that on the spiritual side, we hear from these Brajagopis, particularly, that why are they suffering? On account of separation from Krishna. But theirs is, to use the cliche, categorically different, because it's not on account of forgetfulness. Rather, they say in their man, their spiritual upset, anger, sometimes they say, we wish we could forget Krishna. They have the opposite problem. Both overlap on the separation theme, but one and just abject forgetfulness, the other is saying, we can't stop thinking about Krishna. We can't stop talking about him. Sometimes in their divine madness, they're in separation, we're told, they start imitating his pastimes. And they'll say, I am Krishna, and I've come to punish you, Kaliya, you scoundrel. You know, they're doing Kaliya Leela and other Leelas, and just like divine madness plays. Right? Because they're feeling intense separation from Krishna. but they can't forget him. But interestingly, in the Gopi Gita, right, there it says, Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kamasya apaham sravanam mangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grinanti te buridajana. They're saying, really, the topics about you, Krishna, that brings relief from suffering. Tapta. And we said tapitrai. Tapta jivanam. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibir iti. Kamasya apaham. Removes all of the suffering and inauspiciousness. And Sravana Mangalam, hearing about you introduces real, substantial, auspicious Mangalam into the life. And what is Bilva Mangal? He has one song, Jaya Jaya Deva, Jaya Jaya Deva, Deva Deva. Tribhuvana Mangala Dibhinamadeya, Jaya Jaya Deva Krishna Deva, Sravana Mana Nayanamrita Avatara. So the talks about you, hearing about you, being informed about you, this will not only put an end to suffering, but will enrich one spiritually. Infuse them with unparalleled auspiciousness and nectarine taste. It addresses the hrid rogam, the disease of the heart, thinking that we'll find fulfillment or satisfaction through consumption or consumerism, through exploitation. So their conclusion is, so those who talk about you, who remind us of you, engage us in discussions about you, they're doing the real welfare work in this world. Generally, as I mentioned, once when we were in preaching in Russia, Murleshwar Prabhu and myself, and we're in a city, I believe the name is Petrozavodsk, correct? Close enough. All right. And we're in the house where the one devotee and his sister's like listening in on the program, you know. And she hears like night after night we're talking about Krishna, and she and we appear to be enjoying that, and she's saying, why don't you do something, you know, valuable? He's saying, like, you know, like, you could, if you really want to help people, you could, like, distribute food or clothing or provide shelter, things like that. But here, you're acting like this is some life-saving, world-saving activity. You're engaged here, you know, talking about Krishna. And it's similar to when Srila Guru Maharaj went to collect a donation from a government official. Sometimes they have surplus funds, and so they're building a temple, Gaudiya Math temple, and Guru Maharaj was told, just really all you have to do is visit this man and he'll have like the check ready and say something and he'll provide the check and to go on with the Mat construction. But I think when Guru Maharaj arrived, maybe that man, the post changed somehow, that was not the case. So they were not waiting with a check to give. And this man said, in fact, he said, if there are any surplus funds, the last thing we're going to do with it is build a Mat, a temple, an ashram. But we'll use it in some you know, altruistic, humanitarian work, feeding people, clothing them, shelter, something like that. Something substantial, not a mot. You know. And Guru Maharaj, he was so shocked because what he anticipated, just the opposite. And then he's thinking, how can I return to the mot, I mean, to Saraswati Thakur, empty-handed? And he began to pray very earnestly for some, you know, divine inspiration. And what came to him is unusual. It doesn't fit the stereotype of what you might anticipate, because a verse comes to him, but it's this famous verse from the Bhagavatam after the Rasalila pastimes have been spoken. Vikriditam Brajabudu Viridam Jabishnu Sradhanvato Anushranaya Dattavarna Yedyak Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdhikamam Ridrogamashuapi Hinoti Achirena Dira. Where this caution is being given about the proper method for making one's approach, hearing, discussing. Sradhanvato Anushranayad. It's a question of evolved faith and hearing from actual substantial devotees. There's a particular method of giving exposure to these things because they're so likely to be interpreted, misinterpreted. So Srila Guru Maharaj says, for example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's presented Madhura Rasa in such a way in the Chaitanya Charitamritam that it cannot be misunderstood. He said, and still it is misunderstood. He's presented so carefully, so cautiously that you cannot misunderstand this. And he's saying, and still it is misunderstood. So, that, and you know, as a sidebar, can say, like Gurudev about this, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami, he said, as he had some fascination and expertise with homeopathic medicine, he said, in homeopathy, you have to know like what the disease is, but when it comes to the medicine, you have to know the medicine, its potency, the, what's the other thing? The, because you identify, and then it has the dosage, right? So what is that medicine? What type of potency? And then what will be the dosage of that potency? And he added to that, and your time for healing must have come on top of all of that. So interestingly, sometimes, because we can say, but even yourself are saying these topics, these are those nectarine topics about Krishna that are life-saving nectar. And now here's some particular topics about Krishna Katamritam, that you're saying should be careful. And you're saying, yes, no, potency, dosage, you know, what is the medicine, etc. So in sometimes separation has been compared to snake bite. Right? Sometimes say the snake bite of separation. It's that intense, like someone is hemorrhaging and absence of the beloved. So it's compared to snake bite. And to follow that conceit and say, and what is the antidote for snake bite is snake venom, right? Which is an interesting thing. So we could just say, you know, it's a crude example of a comparison that, so when someone's suffering from snake bite, then snake venom will be the antidote. But if there's no if you haven't been, affected to begin with, then that thing which is like a life-giving nectarine substance will have poisonous effects. So separation is the basis for Krishna culture. Sometimes that appears as to be like discouraging. The neophyte rather focused on union and targeting that sort of culture, which Srila Saraswati Thakur deemed dangerous for neophytes, injurious, smaranam, to try and engage in smaranam with regard to pastimes of union. But we're told it's really appreciated. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitam ahi kriyatam yati kutobina labhyate tatra loyam muyam ekalam janmakoti sukhitarana labhyate. Loyam, hankering, hunger. Just as when there's hunger, food is very relishable. No hunger, no relish. So hunger is the determining factor. Separation makes union all the more appreciable. And from our present position, separation is the only realistic path. Because that we can be clear about. In our present situation, we're separated from Krishna. So it's sensible to cultivate along these lines. And what is warned in this verse, it's saying, because what we're suffering from, really, at the basis of all suffering is hridrogam, heart disease. And this doesn't mean the physical heart, but the spiritual heart. Prabhupada put it this way in the Bhagavad Gita in one place. He said, our natural love of Krishna is being pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter. Reigning in hell. Trying to establish oneself in the world of exploitation as an absolute sinner and then expanding the circumference of exploiting possibilities. So Guru Maharaj, keying in on the hridrogam, heart disease, as that's the root cause of all suffering in this world, whether one appears in this circumstance or that circumstance, is secondary to this root cause of all material suffering. And then Guru Maharaj gave these examples that, you know, are shocking to even repeat, but it had the desired effect. He said, when I was in the body of an elephant, I ate jungles, and that hunger wasn't satisfied. He said, and in the body of a stool-eating pig, I ate hills of stool, and that hunger was not satisfied. Mm-hmm. So what will address that hunger, that heart disease? Is this at this mat, this is where people will get the opportunity for exposure to Krishna conception. They will hear about Krishna. They'll get the opportunity for remembrance of Krishna. And as the Braja Gopis say, this is the cure for all types of suffering. So he's trying to show to him, this is not some irrelevant program that has no practical value in this world of suffering where you want to feed people, clothe them, and give them shelter. This addresses the root cause of their suffering. So this man somehow, he was deeply affected by what Guru Maharaj said and like had tears in his eyes. It hit him what he was saying. And he turned to Guru Maharaj and said, Swamiji, I believe in God. And Guru Maharaj said, your eyes are the evidence of that. It's like tears are pouring down his eyes. And he said, yes, you're right. What we need is a mat. We don't need another food distribution center, clothing distribution center, housing. And Bhuvi Grinantite Burida Jana. And Mahaprabhu told Pratap Rudra Maharaj in the Jagannath Balava, saying this, he's saying, you're giving me something really valuable, of incomparable value. All I can do is embrace you, an expression of my gratitude. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, Sanatan Goswami, and by extension, the Vaishnavas in his line, they see the suffering condition of humanity, but they know what the root cause of that is. And so they're addressing that. Sanatana Goswami in his writings, Brihad Bhagavatamritam and elsewhere, and excavating the holy places in Vrindavan so people can go there and engage in proper Krishna Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna and his pastimes. But he says something further that's of note. He says, I was unwilling to drink this nectarine substance. There is some hesitation on my part. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada referred to this as causeless unwillingness. Sometimes we don't know. It's like this causeless unwillingness to pursue Krishna consciousness, which we know is in our interest. Because we're, and the great devotees, they don't exempt themselves. I mean, this is Raghunath Das Goswami speaking. Prabhupada himself said, when he's recalling like his poor ashram, his family life, to vanaprastha, to sannyas. And he said still in the last vestiges of family life were there, Saraswati Thakur was reappearing to him in a dream, saying, come out, come out. Meaning like, come out of family life. And Prabhupada said, and I was thinking, oh, how horrible. And he wasn't saying horrible, horrible. He said, ooh, like he was, I mean, you can interpret that any way you want. We'll say, oh, that's Prabhupada's Leela's pastime. I'm fine with that. But I just appreciate transcending this absolute, guru identity. He's saying, I would say, horrible. And he's saying, come out, repeatedly appearing to him. So, and no less than Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva, a charge of the Rupanuga line, saying, I was unwilling to drink this. And now we get to the point about the mercy of the Vaishnava. Saying, but Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, he's so merciful. He made me drink it. He forced me to drink. Like, you know, sometimes Guru Maharaj said, like they have, and it's probably seen more in places like India and stuff, they need to put medicine in an animal, and then all the men come, and then they hold the mouth open, and they take a stick, you know, and they put the medicine down the throat of the animal. Right? I mean, that's a little extreme, but you get the idea. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, and again, we take it as his pastimes because if we see his former life, oh, that Indra Aishwarya Stri Apsara had the wealth of Indra, the king of heaven, and a wife as beautiful as a heavenly Apsara supermodel. That's his wife, and he's got wealth like Indra. And he wants to give it all up and run to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So much so that his mother's thinking, she said, like, we should shackle him, put like shackles on his ankles and then a chain, long chain, so he can like go do things, but he'll be chained to the house. And the father responded, he said, look at his wife and the amount of wealth he has. He said, if that can't bind a man, what good is your chain going to do, he said, for someone who's a madman for Mahaprabhu, who's just mad to achieve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still, on our behalf, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, I was unwilling to drink this, but Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, he's so merciful, he forced me to drink that substance. And that's really the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Sometimes we hope that by affection, that we are drawn, and if we have any affection for them, we're drawn into their plane. Guru Maharaj mentioned Sakhi Charan Babu, who is one of the first disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and got to experience him in the very beginning when Mayapur was just mainly jungle. There were no gorgeous buildings and places like that. And he was just beginning to come out and himself come out at the insistence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Pancha Tattva, and this internal inspiration. So Sakhi Charan was one of the first people to ever hear Srila Saraswati Thakur preach. And he said, he was so intense that he would be speaking to us. And he said, we couldn't understand everything he's saying. And he said, and sometimes it was so intense, his face was flushing and he's pounding on the table, talking about Mahaprabhu and Krishna consciousness. And we're looking at him, and the blood would rush to his face. And Guru Maharaj said, then we understood why sometimes the face is compared to a pink lotus flower. Because his face looked like a blushing pink lotus, one petal, another petal, another petal, lotus face. But flushed red with intent, pounding the table, preaching about Mahaprabhu. And he said, so we couldn't understand what he was saying. He said, but what was clear, we had the impression as though he was trying to forcefully push some nectarine substance in us. that we were sure of. He's trying to force, like ram some nectar down our throats, metaphorically speaking. Because we want to have a romantic idea about mercy. Just sweet, sweet, and sweet breezes, and everything will be sweet, and I'll get the mercy, and then I dance off singing into the land of mercy. It's good seva if you can get it. But we say, Bilasatu Riddhi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Bani Nikhila Bhuvana Maya Chinavich Chinna Kartri Vibhuru Bahulam Rigya Mukti Mohanta Datri Shatila Dividi Raga Radhya Rateshadvani Bilasatu Riddhi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Bani. Guru Maharaj said, he's like a devastator smashing karma, yoga, gyan. He's like a samurai. He's slashing these. Or he said, he's dropping an atom bomb on, you know, materialism. So he's using these warlike images and descriptions. And that's the merciful Vaishnava, right? Who he said in one of his talks, it's published, where he said, if a sadhu flatters me, he becomes my enemy. That's not good for me to hear praise. And this Chindanti sloka, I've not committed to memory, it's in the Bhagavatam, where it says, how do they deliver this mercy? Often in the form of, you can say, strong language. Like Vidura told Dhritarashtra when he's in his final days, what did he say? You're living like a kept dog. You know, Swami Maharaj with such great boldness and courage and audacity, challenging the scientists. We should not think that that's not mercy. It's merciful for us. He's breaking our attachment to these things. Saraswati Thakur, what is one of his sayings? Where he said, Western civilization, crush it. Even Gandhi said, when they said to him, because he was clever, and they said, what do you think about Western civilization, Mahatmaji? He said, I think it would be a good idea. And what does Saraswati Thakur say? Western civilization, crush it. Right. Kirtan means a fight. The Krishna conception against Mayic misconception. It's a battle for the hearts and souls of everyone in this world. Even in Gur Vastakam, the first one, Sangsara Dava Nalari Loka, Tranaya Karuna Gana Ganatvam, Praptasya Kalyana Gunanavasya, Bande Guru Sri Charanaravinda, what is it saying? It's like we're in a forest fire. What then you need torrential rain to extinguish that. It has to be something major and overwhelming, devastating. So the Sanatan Goswami and the Vaishnavas, the higher order, they know what is the root cause of our suffering in this world. And they're devising some ways and means to bring us in connection with Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava. The other day, we're singing the glories of Haridas Thakur, told when we're talking about bribes, sometimes he would promise children sweet balls, rasgola, if they would chant the name of Krishna. That's also mercy. Prabhupada used to give out sweet balls from his Vyasa san and at the end of talks and kirtans. But we can't think it will always be like that, a sweet ball in the palm. Sometimes we need to hear something that is sobering and makes us consider more carefully the opportunity that's before us. We see in the prayers of Kunti, she's praying for adversity. I've never known anyone to do that. Right. Vipadak, Shantutak, Shasvat, Tatra, Tatra, Jagad Guru, Bhavato Darshanam, Yatsyad, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. She's saying, because when things are going well, materially, relatively well, there's a tendency to forget you or not feel so much necessity for Krishna consciousness. She's saying, but when I'm in the midst of adverse circumstances, right, insurmountable karmic circumstances surrounded by, then my remembrance of you becomes very intense. Then I'm utterly dependent upon your mercy. So then it would appear to me, I do better under adverse circumstances, because that brings about remembrance of you. And when the apunar bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhavadarshanam, then this world, bhava rog, material disease, that vanished. I don't see that anymore. Now I'm seeing you in the shelter of your vision. I remember when, you know, sometimes devotees were calling Gurudev on the phone and they asked him for some mercy. Mm-hmm. Yes, Krishna bless you, Guru Maharaj bless you. Mm-hmm. But then, like, someone called like a few days later, same person. Within a week, they called again, asking for mercy. And Gurudev said, what did you do with that mercy I gave you last week? Prabhupada also told Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, although we think of him normally with the utmost gravity, gravitas, but he said, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is a very humorous fellow. He said, once, we know Babaji Maharaj is in seclusion, living sometimes in places where people would not want to go, like the latrine, the outhouse near there. And because someone said, how can you stand the stench of these things? And Babaji Maharaj said, how can you tolerate the stench of the mentality of the people that you're constantly surrounded by in intimate association? How can you tolerate that? This is external. That's worse. But so these men, these high-class men, they came from Calcutta, they heard Paramahansa Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and they go, Babaji Maharaj, give us your mercy. And he said, all right, then just stay here with me and take Krishna Naam. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't return to Calcutta. Just stay with me. And Prabhupada said, those men fled away. But that was Babaji Maharaj's mercy. He gave them this opportunity. And we add to that, mercy, by definition, is undeserved. My Srila Guru Maharaj, we were talking about beauty over power, heart over intellect, substance over form, and mercy over justice, mercy above justice. From the standard, the point of view of justice, certain undesirable consequences will be there, punishment, suffering. But mercy is above justice, right? And Krishna is the Lord of mercy. And where is he most magnanimous? When he appears as Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Trishaya Namaha. Once someone said to Guru Maharaj, like in disbelief, after he gave this wonderful description of Mahaprabhu and his descent in this world and his pastimes, shaking his head almost in disbelief. That devotee said that. How can he do this? Like, he's taking the highest thing, Krishna, and distributing that to the lowest people. It seems undeserved, unwarranted. Like, sure, give them something. But, and Guru Maharaj said, this is the very nature of Sri Chaitanya avatar. Right? The concept of the greatest magnanimity. Saying otherwise, he said, what should he do? He should distribute stone chips to everyone. No, not only give them something valuable, right, but that which he himself conceives, that there's nothing more valuable than this, to give the ultimate valuable thing to the lowest people, that would qualify as the greatest magnanimity. Because just to give something good to someone low, that's merciful, that's gracious, it's magnanimous. But Mahavananaya, the greatest magnanimity would be to take the highest thing of which there's nothing higher. So we can say, well, that is Krishna Prem. But, and what type of Krishna Prem? Mahabhav. Because he's observed in Radharani, there's nothing superior to this. This is the ultimate valuable nectarine substance. Like this whole idea. So, you know, the search for immortality, Amrita, Guru Maharaj extracted from the Kurma avatar, that their goal is to achieve the ultimate nectarine substance. Why this pastime is prominently appears in Srimad Bhagavatam is to show Madhura Rasa is that substance. Shyamalila Avalambam Madhura Rasadi Sri Radha Padapadmam Prabhadye. And who's the, you know, the storehouse, the infinite reservoir of Madhura Rasa? It's all those, it's all dependent upon Srimati Radharani. So as Krishna is known as Rasaraj, Radharani, Mahabhav. So it's not that only Krishna descends to experience Bhaktabhav, but the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. And this has inclined him to distribute this highest substance to the most unqualified. There can be no greater conception of magnanimity than that. And in the Rupa Nuga line, and Sanatana Goswami also considers himself Rupa Nuga, as does Raghunath Das. And then appearing in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, and on descended. They're bring, you know, as given in Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam, Sri Radha Padasevanam Ritamaho Tadatumi Shobhavan. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gift to the world. So we're, the Vaishnavas show their mercy to us because we're unfortunate, fallen, and poor-hearted. And still, they're mercifully giving us exposure to Krishna consciousness, somehow or other, bringing us in connection. Any other question?
Maharaj, once you said that the more fallen a soul becomes, the more mistakes it does, the more merciful Lord is to such a soul. Does it mean that for people that can't stop sinning like serial killers, Lord has more mercy and compassion?
People that can't what?
Stop sinning. Stop making bad.
Stop making mistakes?
No, stop sinning. Some make sins, bad things.
Stop, oh, mm-hmm. That people who cannot,
mm-hmm.
And what?
Lord has more mercy and compassion for them. Does it mean the same?
Understand the principle. I'm saying, as more fallen someone becomes, Krishna becomes more merciful. That doesn't, should not make someone think like, oh, then I'm going to become more fallen. That's not what we're told. But what do the Vaishnavas say? They say, oh, if you want to test the purifying power of your mercy and your kripa, then you won't find a more suitable candidate than me. That they will say. But they don't say, let me go do more sinful activities. That is to be, you know, misguided, insincere, and to a certain degree insane. But they're already conceiving themselves as such. So they think, I would be a good test case to test the potency of your mercy, because these other people, they're not so fallen. So why not use me as the test case to test the potency of this mercy? That we hear and express from many great devotees. Pardon me? Oh. But cyclically speaking, the people become the most fallen or most sinful in the Kali Yuga. And Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Birachandra Prabhu, they appear in the Kali Yuga. So that's already there. Anything else?
If the saints in the Himalayas or the Mahabhagavata do not preach, what is their interest of being in this world?
The saints in?
Himalayas.
In the Himalaya mountains?
Yes.
And their Mahabhagavatas?
Saints and Mahabhagavatas.
All right. First of all, we say, and which Himalayas are you talking about? If we say Veda Vyas, then that we can understand, right? He's in the banks of the Saraswati in his ashram, and we see, although he's there, what is he doing? He's also thinking about the suffering souls, and he presents, compiles all the Vedic literature, and Mahabharata, but his ultimate magnum opus, the ultimate work, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're told in his ashram there in the Himalayas on the banks of the Saraswati River, he's feeling some despondency, even though he's done all these wonderful things. It's before the Bhagavatam. And Narada comes to him and saying, you haven't described Krishna conception in all its perfection, and detail. Because what you've given so far, in the name of religion, people will pursue the mundane. They'll use religion to pursue mundane life. And that was not your intention, but that's the way they take it. So you now have to present what we call Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, now pure. Tell them the pure, straight truth. And so he presents Srimad Bhagavatam. But what was the question? The saints in the Himalayas, and now we're saying who that is, Veda Vyas.
If they don't preach, what is their interest of being in this world?
Oh, yes. Well, you mean more like Babaji's, genuine Babaji's, as opposed to Gosanandis, preachers. Because obviously, if Saraswati Thakur remained as he was before, we wouldn't be here, right? So we value more the sacrifice he made, giving up the internal culture to come out in this world and preach to others. So, but then we said, well, what is the interest of those saints? They're engaged in internal spiritual culture, and which is substantial. Because here, in this case, we're not talking about practitioners. So they're actually rendering service in the internal world. And their very presence in this world has a purifying effect. But their nature is such, it's very difficult to get their association or service. Like we find in the case of Lokanath Goswami. So much did he avoid mundane association, as the tendency of interacting with people distracts one from spiritual culture. So he thought his water pot, he kept it upside down so that someone can say, hey, can I have a glass? Oh, no, I can. Do you have any? Oh, I see you don't. And Narottam Thakur, it took some resolute determination on his part to get the notice of Lokanath Goswami. But we can understand this question. We think, then why are they in this world? In one sense, they're not in this world. They're so deep in internal culture, they're just maintaining a body here for some time. And there may be those who have the capacity to interact with them, but it would be very rare. But still, we're told, if you read in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the presence of a Mahabhagavata is purifying for, what does it say? 8,000 yojanas. I mean, it's like 80,000, 10,000, 80,000 miles, something like that. It means the whole world. So just by their presence, people are benefiting on a certain level. But we prefer that the Mahabhagavata descend to the Madhyam position, the middle position, and start interacting with us for our benefit. Anything else?
Question from Tapana Nandini Didi. There is one picture of Prabhupada Murti being bathed in Ganges. Can you please explain something about this practice?
There's a Prabhupada Murti that is what?
Bathed in Ganges.
In the Ganga. Mm-hmm. It's bathed in the Ganga.
Yes.
Do you know about this? You mean when you get a Prabhupada Murti, you pour Ganga water on the Prabhupada Murti? Is that what you mean?
It's after his disappearance. I have a video. After his disappearance, devotee, they have Murti and they bathe in Ganga.
Ask them. We know, we just had the disappearance of Haridas Thakur on the calendar. Mahaprabhu took the body of Haridas Thakur to be divine and bathed him in the ocean in Puri. So maybe their idea was like bathing in the Ganga. That's what I can think, something like that. Maybe in remembrance of what Mahaprabhu did with Haridas Thakur. Anything else?
Question from Pavan Krishna Prabhu. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami wrote the books that were placed in Samadhi. Why does such lila take place? The truth is revealed and written. On the one hand, from Srila Guru Maharaj, we know that we should not become atheists, thinking that if in this lifetime we don't get access to these books, we will never get it. But on the other hand, there are those revelations written down for. Does it mean that someday the samadhi will be opened and some personality would read these books?
We can understand from what they have written, and we do have access to, the infinite nature and character of what they're describing. So that there can be so many books, and there are, and there will be more. But if for some reason, the will of Krishna, that they're not to be accessible at this time, we bow to the will of Krishna. But we can understand, theoretically, that what is given, it's eternal in nature. It will not be forgotten. Right? That which is produced by the Goswamis and other great devotees, at another time, it may become available. Just as Mahaprabhu finding the Brahma Sangita in South India. And say, well, where was it before that? And so many did not know. But he got that and shared with his devotees, as he did the Krishna Karanamritam of Bilva Mangal Thakur. We know when Srinivasa Charja is approaching Gadadhar Pandit to hear the Bhagavatam from him, Nilam Bodhi Tate Sada Saviraha Kepan Vidam Bandavam Srimad Bhagavati Katha Madhiraya Sanjeevayam Bhatiya Srimad Bhagavatam Swanayana Srubhayanai Pujayam. That when Gadadhar Pandit was supplying slokas to Mahaprabhu as, like intoxicants to relieve the separation he was feeling in his heart, tears were streaming from his lotus face and falling onto the pages of the Bhagavatam, washing away those very slokas. So at that time, Srinivasa Charja did not get to hear that from Gadadhar Pandit. And he later was tutored by Jiva Goswami. But it does not mean that that was lost. It's the divine will of Krishna. At another time, it will be given. So whatever the divine purpose is, why something is suppressed at one time and expressed at another time, you know, arteshu abhigya swarat, Krishna knows that. But nothing of the transcendental, spiritual, substantial character is ever lost, like we think of something in this world. Some book was lost, it'll never be known. That cannot be. What is expressed there transcends time and space and the limitations of time and space. But for some divine reason, it's suppressed at a particular time and will be expressed at another time. That's our faith. Hare Krishna. I'd like to sing Hari Harai Nama Krishna.
Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavai Namaha. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavai Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Vaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yeah. Vishnu Bhagavan Mahansa Varibhad Jagacharya Sutera Sutta Sri Sri Maharaj Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundara Ju Ki Jai Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Rupanu Guru Varga Ki Jai Sri Srup Ramananda Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shibasari Gova Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gova Gopinath Shyama Kundar Radha Kundar Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Dham Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mat Ki Jai Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varenya Srilesi Bhakti Vedanta Shami Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Madhacharya Vrinda Ki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Vimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Sriman Pitambar Prabhu Ki Jai Seva Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Nithai Go Premanande
Jai Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Jai Nithai Go Premanande